Hi everyone, this is Robert Allen. Welcome to Grooms with a View. Today my guest is Craig Michaels, who is an author and a groom, and someone who, like myself, has gone through it and lived to tell about it. Craig's book, it's really a great book. I encourage everyone to check it out. We'll certainly have links to it. It's 30 to Wife. It has nothing to do with the prison sentence or anything like that, does it?
Not at all. Okay. Not at all. It's actually my wife's suggestion.
She came up with it.
Yep.
Yeah, and as any good husband knows, when their wife makes a suggestion, they should very well consider it.
Embrace it.
And it's really a wonderful book and a great read. And, you know, we were talking before we went on, you know, it's certainly a book for grooms to read, but I would encourage brides as well to pick it up and read it and give brides a little bit of an insight into what we go through.
Oh, absolutely.
As guys, you know, and you know, in the wedding world, it's amazing how much information is out there for women, for the brides. And, you know, for so long, and one of the reasons we wanted to do Grooms with a View is to just to give the guys a voice, you know, to let everyone know that we are an integral part of this equation. It doesn't happen without us.
That's right.
You know, as a groom, and you talk about this in your book, we don't grow up with this vision of a wedding the way girls do.
Very few of us, I think, line our G.I. Joes up in the sidewalk to do a wedding processional. If anything, we're burning them,
right,
and attacking each other rather than getting them hitched or engaged.
Exactly. But women, you know, think about it from when they're little girls.
Yeah.
You know, and then here we are, we get engaged, and it's all thrust upon us. Now, you know, your book is very interesting how it's put together. It's almost in a diary form, where you kind of go day by day, your trials and tribulations of this whole wedding experience. Why don't you talk a little bit about your motivation in actually writing the book?
Sure. Well, the book takes the last month before the wedding, and like any good sporting event, the action happens right towards the end, so I focus on that. And with each chapter, I kind of outline the day's events and the things that I should have done, the things I didn't do. And then at the end of it, I include the tips for the reader to be able to kind of learn from my mistakes and do a better job.
Right. And even though it is kind of, you know, humorous, and there really is some great solid information in there that grooms need to come away with.
Oh, sure. I mean, there are lots of lists, lots of plans, lots of details that was given to me in book form and web printouts. And my wife put something to my MP3 player once to get me to be able to do my to-dos. And the thing that was lacking was the humor and the story behind it. I was the first of my group of friends to get married. And so there wasn't that relatability that I could just go to for a friend and kind of get the inside scoop. And so during this process, I thought about taking these notes and to relay it more to my friends, and it kind of morphed into to relay it into the world. And so that's kind of the book came about from that. And
now, do your friends look to you for advice, you know, when they're going through it?
They do. Their brides and fiancés at the time might have suggested otherwise, but they do look to me for advice. And I think the one thing that is, if I would give, is if you're not going to help a bit, I wouldn't necessarily write a book about it, because the wedding, yes, is only one day, but it is the first day of the rest of your life.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. Now, what would you know, offer in terms of advice to a guy who's, you know, just gotten engaged, given the ring to his bride? And I know that for you, you got engaged New Year's Eve.
Right.
And you kind of attempted to put a moratorium on the planning process.
You know, actually, the moratorium wasn't me. It was my fiance. She said, you got a couple of months before we even have to start thinking about it.
Okay. And how long did that actually last?
A couple of hours. Enough to sober up and to find a notebook and to start writing down everything we need to do.
So by the next morning, you were in the throes of the starting this process.
I had like 20 things to do.
Now, what would you say would be good advice for a guy who's just kind of starting this process? Where does a groom start to get a grip on what's going on and what is to come in this planning process?
Well, besides the obvious of buying the book and taking notes from the book, I think the most basic thing is that the groom just needs to help a little, and the dividends will be a lot. There isn't one particular area where he needs to focus on or to worry about or to be the expert in. It's really more about supporting your bride. Like you said, she's been thinking about this for a long time. She probably has lots of ideas in her head, and the groom might have some too. And where appropriate, you need to kind of blend it and support her. But I think in general, the idea is to just to be there, to be supportive, to listen and really listen, to go on certain trips and scouting events and those types of things. You'll be told kind of along the way what you need to have to do and when to pick it up and such. So don't freak out and think that you have to be the expert in floral arrangements or china patterns.
Your instructions will come.
The instructions will come. And the advice is, they're not going to self-destruct in 5 seconds. They're still going to be out there, and you're still going to have to act upon it.
Right, and you'll be reminded
over and over again. And so it's not going away, and so I think the trick is just to kind of step up early every now and then. And it only has to be every now and then, and you're going to be greatly appreciated for that.
Now, it's interesting. I'm married almost 15 years. You're married going 5 years.
Almost 5 years.
You know, for me as a groom, you know, I didn't have the resources that are available to grooms today. You know, we have the world at our fingertips with the internet. Do you think that, you know, the internet is helpful in terms of, you know, being, you know, today's groom?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just from basic research and learning that you could do, all the way to booking your travel, purchasing jewelry, checking your registry or creating your registry, and those types of things, it's all available, and it's really easy to do. And I think what the nice thing now is that for both grooms, but even for brides, to get their grooms more involved, what they could do is they could try to use a groom's tendency to like technology to their advantage.
Right.
And so if you want them to think a little bit more about the wedding, well, suggest he builds the wedding website. Or if you want him to be excited about the band or the DJ, put his iTunes playlist to good use.
Right.
And so you're almost doing a bait and switch in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting the groom excited about building the website, and he builds a couple pages, and guess what? He's going to want to know more about the wedding, so he could build some more pages.
Right. And suddenly you're right in it.
He's hooked.
You're right in it.
And then you're able to use that and leverage that and apply to all sorts of areas. So I think it's an exciting thing with technology to be able to support that.
Yeah, and it's certainly a good way to be proactive in doing some research and surprising your fiance of, you know, some discoveries of, you know, maybe a, you know, an interesting band that you heard or you know, some food ideas. I know I was very involved in, you know, wanting to pick the menu and things like that. You know, I certainly think that the internet is a great thing. It makes it easier. I mean, I remember having to make a lot of physical trips to certain places, you know, and seeing it. And now you don't necessarily have to do that. You can do a lot of homework beforehand and narrow things down to the two or three things that you need to see or that you need to experience.
Oh, sure. And it's especially helpful when you have a destination wedding. It doesn't even have to be to an exotic place. A lot of weddings are just happening out of town from where the bride and groom live. And so you could take virtual tours of locations. You could see clips of events that they've held in the past. You know, you could use Skype to make cheap overseas phone calls.
Right.
And so there's many different levels with which you could use technology for the groom to the advantage of the wedding.
Right. Now, one of the things, though, that I find that can sometimes be, well, maybe not so good, is some of the forums that are online. You know, you know, when couples, you know, brides especially, visit a lot of the discussion forums and talk back and forth, I mean, I find sometimes that there's a lot of misinformation out there. Do you find that, too, that, you know, people may talk about certain things and not have the full story there when they are discussing it?
It's like with most things where there's not the editorial filter to it, that you have to kind of take everything you read with a grain of salt, and you're not sure what the perspective of the person writing the entry is. Maybe they had a bad wedding experience at a location, and their job is to, you know, insult the people who helped her out.
Right.
And so it's just hard to take everything for face value without trying to think a little bit. So I think the forums help. I think it's a great way to engage in some one-on-one conversations with people. But in general, you do want to try to stick to sites that have a little bit more of a resource in researching and editorial slant on things and being able to kind of take advantage of that.
Right.
But there are lots of people who are filtered out some information.
Right. And don't just take one person's word for it.
Sure.
You know, and I think that would hold true in a positive aspect. If someone is, you know, raving about a particular place or a particular band or photographer, you know, you need to delve further. I mean, that could be person's mother or sister, you know, posting those things as well. You know, research becomes very important, I think, when you're doing this. You really have to do your homework.
You do have to do your homework, and you can't just rely on everyone else's opinion. I mean, you have to be in there, you have to be asking questions, and that's what's expected of you. And so there are some basic questions that even the simple-minded groom could ask to kind of show some excitement or some interest or just trying to make the wedding a better event.
Right. And you bring up a good point. I think enthusiasm from the groom.
That goes a long way.
It's very important. You know, even if you're not totally jazzed or excited about, you know, things the way your fiance is, I think it's important that we show that we are, because we may not, as guys, express it in the same way. Even though inside, you know, we still have that excitement, you know, sometimes we need to vocalize that. We need to share a little bit of that excitement our end.
Absolutely. And the thing that happens, at least that happened to me, was during the wedding. I mean, it was an amazing affair, and my wife did 99% of it. And you sit there, and so many different emotions come up that, boy, this is a once-in-a-lifetime event, which is a good thing. And then the, gee, I wish I did better, kind of fast follows. And you just feel bad. And so there's only so much you could do at that moment to kind of balance the two out.
Right.
So I think besides helping out early and enjoying the planning process as best you can, the other thing too is also just to enjoy the wedding.
Right.
It doesn't have to be perfect.
Right.
You know, take a sample of the food because your guests are loving it and they're going to be talking about it for a while after. So enjoy that.
Right.
Have a funny picture. Do the conga line and enjoy it, type of thing.
So I think
it's important.
Yeah, because it all goes just so fast.
It does.
That, you know, and you know, one of the things that I stress to our listeners in a lot of our shows is that, you know, as couples, you know, you plan for everything to be perfect and wonderful and to fall right into place. But, you know, if something, you know, does go wrong or it's not as you planned it, typically it's just the bride and groom that know that didn't go perfect. And your guests are still going to have a wonderful time and think everything was just fabulous. And it's only the two of you, really, that, you know, that pink just wasn't as pink as it should be.
Right. And don't let that just take over the situation.
Right.
So, yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Right. Now, what's your advice on how to deal with something that I think is a challenge in a lot of weddings, is family, bringing family together, making that mesh. That's always a challenge. What tips can you offer our grooms out there in terms of making that a little bit easier?
Well, there's the in-laws and your family. I think it's a little different for both. I think for your in-laws, you know, here's a person that you're marrying that you're in love with and you're going to spend the rest of your life with, but they're the ones who've spent their lives with up to this point. So I think you need to be patient. You need to understand where they're coming from, and you might be tucking her in every night now going forward, but they've been doing it for 12, 15, 18 years, 25 years or so. So patience goes a long way. I think you need to be supportive. In many cases, they are footing the bill, and so that does carry some weight, and that you need to understand that. And be involved. If she wants to take a trip to the in-laws, go every three times.
Right.
If you go zero times, it's going to be bad.
Right.
If you go three times, all the time, they're going to wonder a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of mix it up a bit. And really be diplomatic. I think that's important because it's almost like you're playing this really elaborate game of chess. And so each move has its consequences 10 moves down. And so it's not to say that you should clam up and not offer any opinion, but understand what the opinion might mean, not just now, but also a couple weeks or a couple months later.
Right. And I think showing gratitude to your wife's parents, you know, that, you know, what they're putting, whether it be money or time or, you know, I think it's important to express that not only to your future in-laws, but I think to your parents as well, because they're offering that emotional support.
Absolutely. And I think really to your parents is be a good son.
Right.
Really think about that your wife's going to be Mrs. Michaels or Mrs. Smith pretty soon, but there is already a Mrs. Michaels or Mrs. Smith, and that's your mom. And so
right.
you want to pay attention to her and let them help out. So delegate. And that's a great way to outsource some of your responsibilities, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And so
that's a good thing.
Get your family involved.
Get it off your shoulders and put it on someone else's, and they think that you're doing them a big favor in doing that.
Oh, yeah. And communicate. Explain what's happening, mm-hmm. keep them informed. That is always helpful. And then I think in general, there's going to be a lot of mixed events. And so and maybe some emotions or tensions are high, and you need to be there to be a good host.
Right.
And so kind of represent their interests and also help blend the families that are coming together.
Right, right. You know, it's interesting. I think. You know, for brides and grooms, the one thing that comes up, and I ask a lot of couples, you know, what surprised you most about the planning process? And almost every single one of them say, well, we never expected it to be so expensive.
Right.
You know, and I think that's really true. And it grows every year. I think that, you know, the average wedding cost increases every year. It never goes down. What are some ways that you know, grooms can save money? What are some of the things that... you might, and I want you to tell the story about the Tiffany shopping experience also, but talk a little bit about, you know, what are some ways that you can offer our grooms that might be able to save some money in this process?
I think one of the things that we talked about a little bit before was just embracing technology. Try to do things online. You could develop wedding programs. You could do the table cards, the invitations. You could have that printed. In some cases, a printer that you already have at work or at your house might be able to, for some of the materials, just fit the bill perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you could limit certain time of your vendors, whether it's a videographer or a photographer. You could certainly pull in the hours that they spend documenting the affair, and that might save you some money.
Mm-hmm.
Then the flip side is you might miss out on a great thing. And so that was one area actually that we did not scrimp on. We actually had both the photographer and the videographer the full time. It really paid off in the stuff that we have to share afterwards.
Right. Right. Especially since it's, you know, the only things you get to keep when
right.
it's all done.
And it's well produced, and
right.
you're not getting 20 different tapes from all your relatives
sure.
that
sure.
are just the backs of heads.
Right, right.
I think many places today, especially if it's a destination place, offer inclusive packages.
Mm-hmm.
And in many times that it is a cost savings. And so opt for that where you can. I think that you could plan early, whether it's earlier in the day, earlier in the week, or maybe earlier in the season to have the affair. You can save a lot of money just by going on off hours or off times.
Mm-hmm.
That is often quite beneficial. You could, I think it's interesting to do a mixing and matching of things. And so you don't necessarily have to have all premium appetizers. You could mix it up and have a couple ones that you really want and are really special.
Right.
And then mix it up with more standard fare.
Right.
And you'll wind up saving a lot of money.
Cocktail Franks. Everyone likes the cocktail Franks.
Absolutely. Of course, the granddaddy is to elope.
Right.
That could go quite
right,
a ways.
But then you end up pissing off all the parents if you
could
do that.
Be.
Yeah, yeah.
It depends, though. Yeah, it depends on how good you are as a diplomat.
Right, right.
Previously
now,
with the in-laws.
Now, tell that story of what happened at the Tiffany's when you went shopping for the wedding bands.
Well, my wife, I was fortunate to have a friend in the business, and that's how I secured the engagement ring.
Mm-hmm.
And so that helped quite a bit. And the uniqueness of the band of the engagement ring actually warranted a Tiffany wedding band. It was just a better match than she saw anywhere else. And so we went to Tiffany to get both of our bands.
Mm-hmm.
And we walked in, and I'm relatively experienced in Tiffany in what I call the back room.
Mm-hmm.
And so the front room is very expensive. The back room, you could get the nice charms,
right.
the nice bracelets that sure, she might be a high school senior that would appreciate more, but there's
right.
some good values back there.
Right.
And so having a non-diamond band for my first front room adventure seemed to be okay. And we found very easily a nice band that fit perfectly and sized well and looked at the price and said, absolutely, this is what you want. This is what you'll get.
Uh-huh.
And then it came down to my band. I didn't necessarily need that price band for my band. And so I put on the ring, fit nicely, and said, thank you very much. We'll be back. My wife wasn't too happy with that. even though she got her ring, that's too two peas in the pod. And so I promised to take care of it later. As she was looking at her 10-year anniversary bracelet or her 20-year earrings, I kind of leaned into my the clerk and asked if there was any way I could get an extra box or maybe a defective box or something that's blue with a white ribbon that I could use because I was going to go home that night and Google cheap platinum bands.
That's it. And just put it in the Tiffany box.
Put it in the Tiffany box. Yeah. They said no.
No.
I'm sure they shred every box because I'm probably not the first person to think that.
That's right.
But I tried.
It's a great idea. It's a great idea. But, you know, it all works out because it's not really the ring itself, but the meaning behind it.
It is the meaning behind it. Say that 10 times and maybe she'll believe it.
Hopefully. It may take 20 times in there. Now, another thing that comes up at the wedding, and you touch on this in the book, is the toasts at the wedding itself. You know, there'll be a couple of people giving toasts, the best man, maid of honor. What kind of suggestions can you give for the toasts at the wedding?
I think you want to be funny. I think you want to be personal. I think you want to relate it not just to the one person you know, but to the couple itself. I mean, it's okay to go off a bit and talk about how the great fishing trips you had with Joe and just the lifelong friend he's been in. But don't stop there. You certainly have to introduce how you met his fiance and how wonderful they are together. And just really, you want to kind of wrap it up nicely and not just be... Even if it's one-sided, you certainly don't want just it to be a roast and be embarrassing in any way.
Right. Save that for the rehearsal dinner.
Absolutely. The rehearsal dinner is a great place, or the bachelor party.
Mm-hmm.
Having a roast at a bachelor party, that's actually what happened at mine, and it was fun. And it got that out of the way so that during the wedding, it would be much more PG or PG-13.
Right, and appropriate.
And appropriate, right. I think the other thing is folks who are toasting should practice.
Right.
And should think about it and shouldn't just wing it because no matter what you think, you are not a funny drunk. You need to have some practice to it.
That's true.
The other thing on the flip side, and we were just at a wedding where they offered up the microphone for other people to express their feelings as well. And that's a good thing. Unfortunately, what happened was at some point they were rushed to start the food and they cut off a bunch of people who wanted to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to say that the whole wedding should be spent just taking toast and having people talk. But if people want to stand up and express themselves in front of everyone, it's a great thing. So the chicken gets a little colder. That's
sure.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah. I think, you know, the emotion that comes out of that or can come out of that is really priceless.
Much more important.
Sure. Yeah. You'll have, you know, you can have dinner. You know, the next night, certainly.
Absolutely.
Certainly. And I think it's neat in the book, you actually have, you know, the toast laid out almost where it's just kind of fill in the blank.
Mad Libs. I was a big fan of Mad Libs.
Yeah, you know, it's very cool. And I think when people pick up the book and read it, I liked the toast that you would really want to give.
Okay.
the alternate version there. But you may just want to read that just to your bride alone. I don't know if you want to get up in front of everybody and talk about that. Now, you also have a website that kind of ties in with the book, which is Groom411.
Right.
Talk a little bit about how that came about.
Sure. That essentially captures all of the to-dos and the lists and the important responsibilities and things that is found in the book. It's humorous. It's kind of written for the guy to appreciate in small, digestible nuggets and such. And so a lot of those things are covered there. And the nice thing, it complements well with the book, because even if you get the basic information, you still don't know exactly, how's it relate to the bigger picture? How's it relate to what's going to be in my mind in 6 months or those types of things? And so the book offers the supplement or kind of the suggested reading material to kind of get the context. And the nice thing is, that you allude to, it's not just for the guys, but also the brides. Because I didn't think of any day that passed that I wasn't asked, so what are you thinking? What's going on in your head? Where are you at? And brides could take advantage of the book by getting a little bit of a pre-answer. And so there might be some days she might not want to ask that question because she read chapter 3.
Right. Because, you know, we don't, you know, I think it is a general rule, guys just don't express themselves the same way that women do. You know, they'll come home and you'll hear everything that they did that day. And then, you know, for us, it suffices to say, oh, yeah, it was a good day.
Right.
And, you know, lunch was okay. And, you know, and that was it. But, you know, even though in our heads we're kind of thinking about the same things.
Ruminating.
It just doesn't come out.
It does not
the same way. Before we wrap up, one of the things I think for me as a groom that was a highlight and something that I had a lot of pleasure in planning was the honeymoon. Do you think that that's a good place for grooms to really kind of get involved and in the planning process?
I think it's a wonderful place. I mean, it's traditional, it's expected, and the nice thing is, again, with the internet, you have a world of opportunity to pick from. The important thing is to probably think of something that has a connection to both of you. So, sure, it'd be great to golf in Pebble Beach or to go to Ireland and use the sticks every day, but mm-hmm. that might not be what she wants.
Right.
And so I think there's a balance that has to be struck.
Right.
And I think you can do that quite easily and show some creativity and initiative and do it all in your boxer shorts.
Right.
And not have to worry about it.
And I think, you bring up a good point. I think if you plan for a honeymoon where you can have your bride occupied a little bit, like if you pick a hotel that has a great spa,
right,
set her up with some massages and seaweed wraps and mud applications, and then you can go out at the same time and enjoy yourself and do what it is that you like to do.
Absolutely. And the nice thing, too, is if you plan early enough or you think about it early enough, then before the wedding, during the engagement, there could be lots of opportunities for stress relief that relate to the honeymoon. So if you're going to be going to a place where there's great biking trails, well, pick a Saturday when the tensions are high and just say, let's go for a bike ride. Let's prepare for our honeymoon.
Right.
Or go swimming because you're going to go to a beach resort mm-hmm. and have some fun at the pool or something like that. Or give your fiancé golf lessons.
That's right.
There's great ways to, again, just reinforcing. And it's not that it's a misdirected attention, but because it's not specifically wedding related, but just the fact that you're involved and you're thinking about the honeymoon because you're planning a fun golf day.
Right.
Who knew?
Right.
And it's going to pay off.
Right. And I think you need that. Planning a wedding is probably one of the most stressful things that you'll ever do. And I think, bringing yourselves closer as friends, as people that you can rely on one another, I think builds a stronger marriage overall.
Absolutely.
If you're good friends, everything else seems to fall into place. So, but there's lots of really great advice in your book, which is 30 to Wife, nothing to do with a prison sentence.
Nothing at all.
No play on words there, as well as your website, which is groom411.com. And we'll have links to all of that in our show notes as well. But I want to say I really did enjoy reading the book. It's an easy read. It's put together very nicely. I love the idea of the whole diary countdown to the day, and even the appendix, all the information that you have, your lists are really, really right, spot on. I've been in the wedding business a long time, and you really have a great handle on it. As a one-time groom, you got it right. There. So I really enjoyed that, and I encourage everyone to go out and get the book and add it to your library. We have been chatting with Craig Michaels, who is the author of 30 to Wife, here on Grooms with a View. Craig, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you. I
really appreciate it. And that's it. So Grooms with a View, only available on Wedding Podcast Network. I'm Robert Allen, and we'll see you next time.